In this message, we want to talk to you concerning the titles of God and the significance. What we have in the way of a blessing suggested by these wonderful, marvelous titles of God. You remember what Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I'm sure then that God delights to be addressed as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we speak of our Savior, let's don't call him Jesus. Let's give him his title. Do you notice most of the fanatical people and the unbelievers? So many of them speak of Jesus. Well, let's give him his full title, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the King of glory, the Prince of peace, the Prince of light. Yes, just about 300 wonderful titles. And someday we'll speak about the titles of our Lord Jesus Christ, what these wonderful titles of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father. You know, God delights to be known as the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who opened up the Red Sea and led the children of Israel out of Canaan, and who overwhelmed Pharaoh and his army. Yes, God wants us, especially in these days when men are teaching the satanic doctrines of Satan concerning evolution, and denying the creative work of Almighty God by the hand of Jesus Christ, God especially wants us to say that he is the God who created the heavens and the earth, and all of that work was done by his beloved Son, who at that time was his eternal bosom companion. The Word was with God and was God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And that's the reason God is called the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly. And as Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, he hath begotten us into a living hope by the resurrection of Christ from the dead." And then that same Peter in that same epistle said, "The God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." The God of all grace. What a title. Do you need the grace of God? Oh, yes. How much is available? All of the grace of the God of all grace, for the God of all grace is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency, might abound in all good works. Yes, sufficient and adequate for every task and every test and every trial. The God of all grace. Then in Hebrews 13:20, the God of peace. The God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, the God of peace. And we read that the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall garrison your hearts and minds. The peace of God. And Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And he said, "My peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Two things the Lord Jesus promised. In the world ye shall have tribulation, in the world ye shall have peace. Tribulation and peace, well, we all want the peace. I wonder if we really enjoy having the tribulation. All who will live godly in Christ Jesus must suffer persecution. And Christ said, "In the world you shall have tribulation, and if the world hates you, remember that the world hated me before it hated you." Well, God pity the popular Christian. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you. Don't try to be unpopular, but if you serve the Lord, you may not be acceptable in human society. But if I please men, then I am not the servant of the Lord. But this peace from the God of all peace. This grace from the God of all grace. Then Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The God of hope, the God of all grace, the God of peace, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Think of it. The God of grace, the God of peace, the God of hope, the God of all comfort, the Father of mercies, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he's called the Father of spirits, and he's called the Father of glory. In that peculiar sense in which he is the Father of glory as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we are to pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of God's calling, the exceeding greatness of God's power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for these wonderful titles. And there we learn the true source of grace and peace and hope and comfort and mercy. What wonderful words. Something that the world cannot give you. And thank God, as Paul said, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You remember those wonderful words? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. The God of all grace. Listen to these words I penned some days ago. The God of all grace is a wonderful name. What a privilege it is, his grace to proclaim, to tell forth the gospel at home and abroad, to teach guilty sinners the great love of God, how God planned it in heaven to send from above his bosom companion, the son of his love, to live among sinners, to die on the tree, to receive divine judgment for you and for me. What love and what mercy, what infinite grace, Christ Jesus was willing to die in our place. Then God sent the Spirit to convict us of sin, to make us new creatures and abide then within. Now grace excludes boasting, religion, or deeds. Provides for the sinner all that he needs. In Christ we're accepted, complete in God's Son, saved without doing by the work Christ has done. Not by man's wisdom, endeavor, or plan. How utterly futile the best work of man. Because Christ was sinless, God can be just and justify freely all who will trust. And all who trust Jesus of glory are sure. Preserved by God's power, forever secure. For Christ in God's presence appears for his own and makes intercession as he sits on God's throne. And sealed by the Spirit who abides all the way, the believer is waiting for that glorious day when the blessed Lord Jesus shall in glory appear, the day of redemption. We wonder how near. Then all that is mortal no longer shall be. In glorified bodies our Lord we shall see. And if we are faithful, with him we shall reign, for our labors in Jesus shall not be in vain. With such grace abounding, such power divine, why do we falter, doubt, or repine?